morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, and 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, June 19th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Another pipeline to the Columbia River Gorge? An activist in white salmon tells us what is at stake.
Green Scare defendant Justin Solons is arrested in China.
And activists across the world are marking the 64th birthday of Burma's detained opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy, showers likely, highs in the 60s. Tonight a chance of showers and lows around 50, and then tomorrow more of the same.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Well, as many listeners know, Air Cascadia has been tracking the Bradwood Landing and the Jordan Cove LNG proposals for these many years now. But these are not the only threats to our forests and streams. Up in White Salmon, a small cadre of committed activists are working to stop another pending fiasco, the Blue Bridge Pipeline Project. Activist Christine Stein is with us this morning. She is with a group called Concerned About Blue Bridge, or CAB. Good morning, Christine, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about what this actually is, this Blue Bridge Pipeline Project?
The Blue Bridge Pipeline Project is a proposed 178-mile natural gas pipeline from Stanfield, Oregon, crossing the Columbia River to Plymouth, Washington, following the length of the gorge to Washougal, Washington.
That's a huge project. How is that going to impact landowners and the environment?
Well, it's a very strong impact. It definitely is going through many people's land, public land, private land. It's going through the National Scenic Area. Landowners here, it's going right through people's property, devaluing property. We're worried about our safety, damage to the environment. This pipeline would be going through Douglas fir, a large forest with spotted owl and gray squirrel who are endangered. The property value is a huge issue. It's vast, and it's going through many rivers. We have been told by the pipeline that they could use the eminent domain, and that we really don't have much of a choice in this.
When you talk about the pipeline owners, what company is doing this? Is there a consortium?
This would be Williams Northwest Pipeline. And currently, they have an existing line that has also brought up a lot of concern. One issue is that there is an existing line that was built in the 50s through the same general area owned by the same company, Williams Northwest Pipeline. But the new proposed route did not follow the existing easement, and instead it deviated a couple miles to the north and right throughout our properties. Also, with that same pipeline, it being so old, Williams has owned this pipeline since the 80s and has never conducted any soil surveys, testing for contamination, or pigging, which is a device that is used for detecting corrosion and leaks. So that brings up another issue of us being concerned about our safety here.
So basically, you've got one that's so old it could explode at any moment, and another one taking a completely different route that destroys the environment.
Absolutely, definitely.
We want to try to follow up on this story and continue to report on your success fighting this. And I imagine you will be up against the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, as are the activists fighting the Bradwood Landing and Jordan Cove LNG terminals. Thank you so much for that. That's all the time we have for today.
Could I give a name of who people may be able to contact,
please,
in protest of this? Charles, you could email Charles.Brown at FERC, FERC.gov, with the docket number capital P, capital F, 09-10. And we also will be having scoping meetings that will be coming up and could use all the support that we could get in fighting this. But as many emails that could be sent to Charles, C-A-R-L-E-S, dot Brown, at FERC.gov, with the docket number capital P, capital F, 09-10. And also, I could be contacted at kickstein, K-I-C-K-S-T-E-I-N, at gorge.net if anyone is interested in finding out more information about it. This is vast. What I've told you is just a very limited amount of things. It's numerous, the effects that it has on all the landowners here and our whole community that we all love.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Christine Stein with Concerned About Blue Bridge. Thanks a lot, Christine.
Okay, thank you.
In a unanimous opinion, the Oregon Supreme Court said people against a casino town or pact can raise a constitutional challenge to Governor Kulongoski's authority to sign off on the site for tribal casinos. This affects the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians. Pact has already opposed a Three Rivers casino in Florence, claiming the Oregon Constitution expressly prohibits casinos. This could save the Columbia River Gorge from the depredations of destination resort developers who are trying to use First Nations as a wedge to get past laws protecting the gorge.
And in further news of development resorts in central Oregon, the Bend Bulletin has this. The State Court of Appeals denied a request to reconsider its ruling that Deschutes County followed proper procedures when it approved a plan for the Thornborough Destination Resort. The site of the nearly 2,000-acre complex is north of Tumalo, and its plans include nearly 1,000 McMansions, 475 overnight lodging units, and three, count them, not one, but three golf courses. The appeals court decision dealt with a preliminary plan for the resort. The developer has appealed the final master plan to Oregon's Land Use Board of Appeals. That board has yet to issue a decision, so there's still time to make your concerns about this heard.
Portland Indy Media reports that environmental activist Justin Solons has been arrested in China and taken into custody. Justin was named as one of the Green Scare defendants in the University of Washington genetic engineering research arson and was named as a co-defendant of Brianna Waters. She refused to cooperate, went to trial, and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Justin has been listed as a fugitive by the FBI since the UW indictment was issued several years ago. It's unclear whether Justin will be extradited back to the U.S.
And yesterday, the Oregon House voted to sock away some of its recently passed corporate tax increases in the state's rainy day savings account. It better not be a long rainy day, though, because the new corporate minimum starts at $150, that's up from $10, and ends at $100,000, which I guarantee no corporation will ever cough up. Net corporate income above $250,000 will be taxed at a rate of 7.9% instead of 6.6%. Before the ink is dry, corporate accountants are hard at work on the loopholes.
Measure 57 was put on the ballot by the legislature as a less costly alternative to a more stringent proposal that was defeated by voters. The law requires longer sentences for repeat property and drug crime offenders. Now the legislature's majority Democrats are pushing a plan to phase in the new law as a way to prevent cuts to the Oregon State Police and other public safety programs. Of course, if you're heavily invested in the prison industry, you can't wait to get tough on crime.
Right, you can't miss with that one. It's a sure bet. Well, while the world is focusing its attention on the drama unfolding in the streets of Tehran, we still have a situation that is cause for terrible, terrible human suffering and misery. We are the direct perpetrators of the crime against humanity that has been inflicted on the people of Iraq. The United States still accepts only a handful of Iraqi refugees every year. There are thousands upon thousands of people who were waiting to be accepted into this country for refuge, for medical reasons, for any number of justifiable reasons. Save Refugees is a group here in Portland welcoming refugees from Iraq to the city and inviting Portlanders to an event this weekend. It is the Iraqi Food Festival. It is a block party on June 21st. That's Sunday. And it's out on 79th Avenue. Joining me this morning to tell you more about it is Zahra Alkabi, an activist from Iraq who is here in the United States and brings word of what's going on back in Iraq. We mustn't forget what is still going on in Iraq, and we must always remember that the United States, all of us really, hold responsibility for it. We didn't stop it. We saw it coming. We should have done something when we could. And now this horrible tragedy is continuing into the foreseeable future. Good morning, Zahra. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris.
Talk a little bit about Iraqi refugees and the people here in Portland that you work with.
Yeah, actually, I would like to mention that the 20th June of every year is the World Refugee Day. So I don't know if our listeners are aware about that. And since we are working and focusing with Iraq and Iraqi refugees and the displaced people, we are trying to organize the street party, and we wanted to welcome Iraqi refugees in Portland and make some friends, like new friends, and meet with some supporters. And as you said before, that Americans are really responsible for the disaster that happened in Iraq. And because of the situation in Iraq, millions of Iraqis became refugees. And so since none of the organizations here in Portland are really focusing to work with Iraqi refugees or to do anything for Iraqi refugees, we thought about the 21st June, which is one day after the World Refugee Day, and we wanted to have this event, and we called it Iraqi Food Festival. And the main idea of the Iraqi Food Festival is to make the network and build the bridges of peace and friendship between Americans and Iraqis. And since Iraqis are here in Portland, then it will be a great opportunity for Portlanders to come and meet them and listen to their stories, experience a wonderful Iraqi food, and share the culture with Iraqis. Now is the time for Americans to get to know Iraqis and know more about Iraq, the culture, the country, and the tragedy.
Tell, you know, recently the mainstream media has been full of stories coming out of Iran as a result, the violence as a result of the recent contested election has really captivated the world, and it seems that the mainstream media has rushed to take a look at that situation. And as the war in Iraq continues, every day there are bombings, every day people lose their lives, every day children who can't find medical care die. People die of starvation. They die of all kinds of totally preventable diseases from bad water sources. Can you talk about how you feel? Do you think that the media is doing a good job right now of covering the situation in Iraq?
Actually, the media didn't do any, like, a good job even before. So I'm really frustrated with the whole situation of the news and even the events and the activities that some peace activists and groups here in Portland are trying, you know, to work with some issues, but they all of a sudden, like, they forgot about Iraq and they just don't want to talk about it, and everything seemed like okay while it is not okay, and the war, as you said, still continuing there, and the situation is really worse than before. People are suffering daily and no one really knows about their daily suffering, and people became displaced inside Iraq. I have many friends. They run their own NGOs in Iraq, and they send me from time to time reports about the situation of Iraqi people who left their homes and went, like, to another part of Iraq in order to seek safe life and stability. So it's really difficult for me as an Iraqi person, as a peace activist. I'm trying to educate the public opinion about the situation. I'm trying to do some like events and activities to let the people know that Iraqi people need their help and their support, and this, that the situation of 7 years of war and occupation is not, you know, something that people can just turn heads and forget about it, because
something is going to be in Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan. Of course, all these, you know, issues are important, and each country has their own, you know, awareness situations. But it's also Iraq has been like struggling for 7 years now, and the situation didn't get any better, and it will not get any better soon.
We need to wrap up our show for today. Can you just remind our listeners some of the details about the Iraqi Food Festival, the Block Party?
The Iraqi Food Festival will be on the Southeast 79th, the block between Ash and Pine. It will be from 12 p.m. until 4 or 5 p.m. until people get tired and then they leave. So it will be open for everybody. It's like a very social, cultural event, and we wanted to engage the Iraqi refugees, the newcomers, with the Portlanders and let them know about this community and let the Portlanders know about the Iraqi refugees and the crisis of the refugees. Even in the United States, the Iraqi refugees are really struggling to find jobs, are struggling to find houses, and the social services that are providing by some organizations here are not really great, are not in a good, you know, level. And many, many Iraqi people, the refugees who just came to Portland, they are homeless. Believe it or not, they don't have a place to stay. And save refugees are trying to work with some of these issues, trying to secure, like, stable, you know, situation and find some housing.
So
it would be really great if the people who listen to us can join us for the Iraqi Food Festival. It will be on Sunday, 21st June, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., and it will be on Southeast 79th, the block between Ash and Pine. Also, you can go to our website and read more about the event. It is www.saverefugees.org.
Thank you so much for that, Zahra. My guest has been Zahra Al-Kabi, Iraqi activist and spokesperson for her people. Thank you very, very much for that, Zahra.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, June 19th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delton.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. UN forces fire on a funeral for a Catholic priest and Lavalas leader in Haiti, and a legislative proposal in California calling for renewable energy sources.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.